Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The sixth petition, lead us not into temptation. What does this mean? God tempts no one. We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. The devil operates according to the principle that anyone can fall. It doesn't matter who you are, how long you've been a Christian, how strong your faith is, Satan is sure that there is a way, that there is just the right temptation that he can use to drag you down into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Starting with our first parents back in the Garden of Eden, the devil's been proven right time and time again. This is evident in our scripture lessons today. Starting with our Old Testament lesson from the book of Exodus, the people of Israel were gathered at the base of Mount Sinai. And together, with one voice, they answered and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient." But, as you may recall, a few chapters later, Moses was a little delayed on the mountain as he spoke with God, which led to a little impatience, even doubt in the hearts of the people. And soon those people gathered together before Aaron and said to him, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us." The devil tempted the Israelites, those people whom God had delivered from slavery in Egypt, started worshiping a golden calf made from their own jewelry. And then you have the Corinthians, our epistle lesson today. They heard the gospel preached by St. Paul himself. In fact, he spent a full year and a half among them, more time than he spent in most of his missionary stops. Yet, a little pride in their earthly possessions, a little greed when it came to the common meal shared among the congregation, a little bit of division between the rich and poor members of the church, and then what should have been a holy communion became a farce and a blasphemy among the Corinthians. The point that the Apostle Paul wrote to them and told them that their gathering together was not for the better, but for the worse. And then we have our gospel lesson. That first Maundy Thursday long ago, all of Jesus' disciples fell away because of him. Just as he foretold it happened, when the shepherd was struck, the sheep were scattered. Even Peter, who boldly promised that even if all the rest should fall away, he would never fall away. He boasted that he would lay down his life for Jesus if it came to that. But again, a few questions from a servant girl. Soon Peter was calling down curses upon himself, swearing that he didn't know anything about that man from Nazareth. Of course, there's the most infamous fall of all, Judas Iscariot. He was one of the Lord's 12 apostles, handpicked by Jesus to follow him throughout his ministry, to hear his public and private teachings, to behold his many miracles and signs. He was even entrusted with the money bag. He was given responsibility over Jesus and the disciples' funds. He got a little greedy. Started helping himself to what had been given to Jesus. Became a little angry because a very expensive ointment was used by Mary to anoint Jesus. The devil entered it into his heart. Was kissing Jesus on the cheek in the Garden of Gethsemane, betraying him. 30 pieces of silver in his pocket. Besides this, of course, there are countless other examples in Holy Scripture of the great saints of old falling into temptation. Far more examples throughout the history of the church. But if the devil has led all of them into temptation, He most certainly has the same plan for you. He knows that although your spirit is willing, your flesh is weak. He is, after all, the ancient serpent. It means he can slither into the narrowest of openings. Maybe like the Israelites, you're growing a little impatient because God seems slow in answering your prayers. Satan will use that to bring you to doubt God's love, to ultimately disbelieve in his promises. Or maybe like the Corinthians, there's a little bit of disagreement, division between you and your fellow Christian, maybe even a fellow member of this church. Satan will use that, lead you to stop coming to church altogether, then ultimately to fall away from the faith. Maybe like Peter, there's just a little fear as to what people might think if you spoke too much or too boldly about Jesus. Satan will use that, bring you to avoid any expression of Christianity at all, and ultimately drive out any Christianity from your heart. Maybe like Judas, it's just greed. Satan can certainly use that. It will bring you to set your mind on things temporal and fading, and ultimately reject those things that are eternal, God and his word. And along with these, there's millions upon millions of other temptations that Satan can use, all with the intent to drag you away from God and his word to unbelief and hell, one small step at a time. Satan has been at this for millennia, which means he's not only persistent, patient. The devil knows that the best temptations aren't necessarily those temptations that are big and scandalous and offensive. Sometimes it's the ones that are barely noticeable that are the most effective. He knows that the best way to turn a Christian away from God isn't necessarily with a bang, but often with a whisper. Faith rarely dies in that sudden burst of anger with God, shaking your fist at the heavens and renouncing him loudly. More often, faith just simply grows weaker and weaker, dimmer and dimmer, neglected, slowly but surely, until finally, poof, it's gone. Like a candle that goes out when the wick runs out. Satan, he's fine taking his time to see that happen. He's willing to take as much time as it needs to see you fall from God's grace. Again, he's had a lot of success over the years. But as we heard on the first Sunday in Lent, is one very significant failure. There's one man alone, who did not fall, who was never overcome by the devil's lies, who never succumbed to temptation, never sinned, Jesus Christ. As we heard, he was tempted in the wilderness 3 times by the devil, and with each and every temptation, Christ escaped by means of the word of God. Every fiery dart that the devil could hurl at him, our Lord Jesus turned aside, with the shield of faith and with the sword of the Spirit that is the word of God. Not once, not in deed, not in word, not even in thought did Jesus ever sin. He remained holy and innocent and unstained. He and he alone withstood all that the devil could throw at him, even the worst temptations. He remained pure and spotless, so that as the pure and spotless Lamb of God, he could go forth and complete his mission to suffer and die for your sins, sins of the whole world. But the devil was patient with Jesus too. Luke tells us, following his unsuccessful temptations of Jesus in the wilderness, the devil left him until, quote, an opportune time. After all, there was far too much at stake for Satan to give up after just 1 or even 3 failures. Throughout Jesus' ministry, Satan prowled around like a roaring lion, waiting for that opportune time to devour him. I thought that opportune time came on the night we are remembering tonight, the night of his betrayal, the night of our Lord's passion. Starting on this night long ago, the devil used every means possible, every trick in his book, every weapon in his arsenal, in order to overcome the Son of God. As we heard, he put it in Judas's heart to betray Jesus. But then Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, loved them to the end. The devil led the disciples to dispute among themselves, even at that Last Supper, as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But Jesus took a basin of water and a towel, washed his disciples' feet as a servant. Satan demanded to have Simon Peter to sift him as wheat. But Jesus prayed for Peter that his strength would not fail. Satan incited the crowds to call for the release of Barabbas and the crucifixion of their Lord. Jesus prayed to his Father that he would forgive them, though they did not know what they were doing. Through it all, even in that time that Satan considered to be most opportune, Jesus remained faithful. He did not fall. In the end, Christ Jesus fulfilled all that had been spoken of him by the prophets. He accomplished his mission. He finished it all. He met his goal. He conquered sin, death, and the devil as the perfect final sacrifice on the cross for you, for all. Christ Jesus has won the victory. The victory he has won for you. That victory of Jesus over the devil and his temptations continue to bless and sustain you to this day. For as the book of Hebrews puts it, Jesus was tempted in every way that we are, and yet without sin. Therefore, because he himself suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. And one of the chief ways that our Lord Jesus Christ helps us in our temptations, through the very sacrament that he instituted on this night, the night when he was betrayed. Sacrament of the altar, the Lord's Supper, or Holy Communion. He has given the sacrament to us, commanding that we should do it in remembrance of him. That doesn't mean we remember him as if he were absent, far from us, no. Rather, he is truly present here in our midst, in his very body and blood, under the bread and wine, just as he promised. Body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Lord Jesus Christ instituted this sacrament on this night to bind you in fellowship, not only with him, but also with one another, your fellow believers, so that when Satan tries to invite doubt and division, you can remain one bread and one body, even as you are all partakers of the one bread and drink from the one cup. On this night, our Lord instituted the sacrament to strengthen your faith, so that in the hour of temptation, when Satan tries his hardest to lead you away from God, you have strength to overcome him and win the victory, following the example of your Lord Jesus Christ, by wielding the sword of the Spirit that is the Word of God. Lord Jesus instituted this sacrament on this night for the forgiveness of your sins, as he expressly states. That when you fall for the devil's temptations, when you sin, when the devil tries to tempt you to despair by bringing up all the ways that you've disobeyed God and how you are completely unworthy of his grace and mercy, you can rest in the arms of Jesus, trusting in his worthiness, confident that the sins you've committed, one and all, have been covered by his blood, shed for you on the cross. And that there is truly no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus. Yes, the devil wants you to fall. He's sure that you can. By your own strength, you would, and you have. So don't rely on your own strength. Instead, look to Jesus. For as we heard at the beginning of the service, when we look within ourselves, we find nothing but sin and death. But when we look to Jesus, then we find nothing but forgiveness, life and salvation, grace and mercy, steadfast love. Trust in Jesus. He is forever faithful to you. He has shown you this by giving himself to death on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. Find Jesus where he promises to be, in his word that is proclaimed, in his body and blood that is administered. He gives you this supper to eat and drink. He forgives your sins and gives you life and salvation. In Jesus, the devil truly is overcome, and you have the victory. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.